Well, I don't know if you're like me, but I, growing up, loved getting presents. I would look forward to Christmas like months before I'd start. I still sing Christmas carols all year long. It's one of my favorite times of the year. But as growing up, we did not have a whole lot of money. And so we were limited to one gift. And every Christmas, we would get one gift. And sometimes it would be out of necessity. Sometimes it would be something we really wanted, depending on how much it was. But one of the things that happened for me as a child is, and I'll put a disclaimer, children, don't do this at home. This is really a bad idea, but I'm going to share some of my weaker moments as a child. And one of the things that happened is I just really wanted to know what was inside. I'm a very impatient person. I don't tend to, well, I'm probably more patient now, but back as a child, I didn't have a whole lot of patience. And so I would see this present under the tree, and I'd go and I would look at it, and I would play with it a little bit, shake it around, and then all of a sudden I started hearing that some presents made noises. And you know, when they started making noises, you could start trying to guess, oh, I bet you that's what that is. And then eventually, my mom would catch on to that, and so she'd stop it from making noises and stuff it with things, and then it made it harder to understand, so I'd squeeze it, I'd shake it, I'd do whatever it took to try to figure out what was in it. And then I have to confess, my human nature even went out even more, and I had to try to guess even further by just peeking. You know, you would open up that little piece of tape. Now, my mother was not a meticulous present wrapper, and so that made it easier for someone like me to peek. And so I would undo just a little portion of it to have a look inside, and sometimes I could see a picture, and then I'd know what it was, and I'd be mission accomplished. I'd know what I was getting. Christmas morning, I'd have to pretend I knew I was a surprise, and everything was wonderful. Well, you know, eventually that wasn't good enough for me. Even knowing what the present wasn't good enough for me. So then I had to actually open it a bit more. And pretty soon I'm unwrapped the present, neatly, mind you. And I would actually open the present to see what it was like to play with it. There was one time in particular when I was probably a preteen. And my mom had gotten a present and I looked all over the house, found her hiding spot. She was terrible at hiding, by the way. And so I would find it. I opened it. And it was an alarm clock. Now, I understand most of you are thinking, you're a preteen and you got an alarm clock and you're excited by this. And I'm thinking, yeah, I was. Because back then, alarm clocks were not normal. I'm that old. And they just started coming out. And I really wanted to check to see what kind of a color was the digital number on it. And so I did the really bad thing. I opened up, plugged it in, played with it a bit, and then thought, then it was green. I thought, nobody else has a green one. That's really cool. So then I wrapped it back up, put it in the box, put it away, and then proceeded to make a fatal error. I told my brother, who's 5 years older than me, I told him what I did. Guess what, Doug? I know what I'm getting for Christmas. He says, what are you getting? I said, I'm getting an alarm clock. And his eyes are lit up like, how do you know this? I said, well, I just went up there. I found it. I opened it up. I plugged it in. And this is how it works, all this stuff. And he, being the rat that he was, proceeded to go and tell my mother what I had done. And she proceeded to do exactly what I'm sure you're all assuming. She went and took it back. And I did not get my alarm clock that year. I don't know what I got, but I know it wasn't as exciting as that. And I learned my lesson really good for the most part. But then as an adult, I still like to shake, poke, prod, squeeze, sniff, do whatever it took to try to guess what it was, even to the point where I'm married now and I have a mother-in-law who sees me attack this tree looking for every present that's mine and doing all of those nasty things, and she's just horrified, absolutely horrified that I would do that. I love presents. Now, I'd love to say that I, you know, don't carry that on at all. I don't even look at the presents under the tree. I have a whole bunch under the tree. I haven't even touched them. My wife says she's very proud of me. But I love presents. In fact, so much so that I love giving presents away. And so I have a couple presents. I need some help. And so John's going to help me. I have three presents that I just need help opening them and finding out what's in them. So first of all, what I'd like to do is if you're not a regular attender of Southridge and you're between the ages of 6 and 8, I want you to put your hand up and keep it up because John's going to come around and help me because I've got some presents here that need to be opened. So come on, put your hand up. If you've not been here before, or maybe you haven't been here much, put your hand up. There's one there. There we go. And you're going to come on up here, and we are going to have a little chance to chat, and you're going to help me open up this present. You know, sometimes small presents, you know what? Those small gifts carry an awful lot. So we're going to get some help here. John's going to bring, oh, it's a young lady. Perfect. This is wonderful. You're going to love this. I know you are. I was so excited by this. All right, come on up. Okay, how about you tell us who you are?
Amaris.
Amaris, it's very nice to meet you. A very pretty dress. Are you excited about Christmas?
Yeah.
Yes? Now, do you like presents?
Yeah.
Do you peek?
No.
Good answer. That's a really good answer, because you don't want any of them to know that. I have to admit, after I was done the first service, I had a lot of confessions coming my way. People that said, oh, I do this, and I've done that, and oh, it's terrible. Now, I have a present here. Would you like to open it?
Yes.
Perfect. You open it as quickly as you can. Oh, you're not one of those neat terrors, are you? Okay. Oh, what did you get?
Penguin socks.
Penguin socks. How nice for you. Do you have Christmas penguin socks?
No.
Well, now you do. Congratulations. There's your gift. Merry Christmas to you. Oh, by the way, you might want to look inside one of those socks. What's inside? Oh, what is that? Oh, look, there's something in there. Do you know what that is?
An Amazon $25 gift card.
An Amazon $25 gift card for you. Merry Christmas. Now that makes the socks look a little bit better, doesn't it? Nice. All right. Merry Christmas to you. What a sweetie. Now, I have a really fancy schmancy one here. Look, it's pretty. All right, I'm looking for someone else. So look, now the hands come up. Oh yeah, first you're not so certain. Now you know I'm giving away some good stuff. Now you're working the crowd. Okay, I see how you are. All right, so I've got a really nice gift here that's looking for a home for somebody who's, this is not, try to do it as somebody who hasn't been here before, but we'll take whoever at this point. All right, come on up. You're the next contestant on The Gift is Right. Here we go. Come on up here. Well, hello. How are you?
Good.
You're good. Okay, good. And what's your name?
Nevaeh.
Nevaeh. It's so nice to meet you, Nevaeh. And are you excited for Christmas?
Yes.
Do you like opening presents?
Yes.
Do you peek?
Sometimes? Yes.
I like the honesty in that. You know what? I really like the honesty in that. That's great. Now, I have a present here. Would you like to open it for me? Oh, perfect. Okay, so I'm going to hold it and you can open up. Now, I need you to do this quickly because I've only got a few minutes of this message. Oh, don't worry about that. It just tears open. Tear the paper. Come on, let's work this. You and I. I'm actually sharing opening a present, which is unusual for Pastor Paul because usually I like to do it all by myself. Keep tearing. Tear, 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 tear. Yeah, there you go. All right, let's come around here so they can see us opening it. Oh, it's something pretty cool. It's not a blender and it's not underwear. It's socks. Nope. What is it?
Car.
It's a remote control car. You're not sure what to think of that, are you? Will you play with it?
Yes.
Yes? And will you share it?
Yes.
We have a rule at our house that if you get a gift, you get to play it first, and then be kind and share every now and then, right? Is that okay?
Yes.
There you go. Merry Christmas, sweetheart.
Did I keep this?
You get to keep it. It's yours. Ooh, now it makes it a little bit more meaningful, doesn't it? That's wonderful. There you go. Merry Christmas. Now, I have a third gift, but before you start putting your hands up, this is a gift that I get to open. Really? That's it, huh? Oh, what a ripoff. All right, here we go. Now, I have the Energizer Bunny. How many of you want to dare to admit that you've seen the Energizer Bunny on TV? Energizer Bunny came out, does anybody know what year? 1973 was the first one. And I was around then. And that's not when the dinosaurs roamed the earth, as some of the staff would probably think. But this Energizer Bunny, you know, as we talk about that, watch that video, some of these toys that we have, the socks will get a hole in them, and if you are my kids, they'll probably last maybe a month. And if the race car, if you're my boys, it'll probably last maybe a couple weeks because they'll probably try to run it down the stairs and break it all over the place. But the Energizer Bunny, you know, the batteries last longer than any other battery, and it seemed like it keeps going and going and going. But the reality is, even this, the batteries end up dying, don't they? Every one of these gifts and things that we have, there's always a shelf life that we have to understand. Well, today as we come to Christmas Eve, I want to talk about a gift that doesn't end, that keeps going and going and going. For each one of us, it's an understanding that Christmas is really about God's love coming down for us. And as we come to this point, I want to just look at the idea of a passage that we have been looking at for the past few weeks. And this passage here talks about and prophesied about Jesus coming and what his names would be. And so as we look in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says this, and it's a familiar passage. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And tonight I get to look at that last one, the idea of the Prince of Peace. You know, it's a hard thing in this day and age to think about what true peace is, isn't it? It's a hard thing to understand because there's so much unrest around. There's so much pain. There's so much hardship. There's so much struggle that is going on. And the reality is it's hard to understand how can you have peace in the midst of all of that. Well, Jesus says, Jesus was born as a baby over 2,000 years ago. And then as he grew up and he started to teach, this is one of the things that he said that was really profound. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." John 14:27 tells us that he came to give us peace, but not as the world gives. Now, I think if I was to say, what brings you peace? You'd probably say an empty house. You would probably say a nice beach somewhere far away where it's warm and there's nobody else around. Some of you would say just a moment of silence would be peaceful for me. Because really the thought is that we all long for some of that, don't we? But in the day and age that we live in, everything's so fast-paced. Everything is so chaotic. There's chaos that seems to reign. There's noise all over the place. We can't even go away and not come back with about a gazillion emails of people wanting us, a little piece of us. Peace is really hard to find. But one of the things that Jesus tells us is that he gives peace not like the world gives, because he's not really looking at the idea of peace the way we do. You see, peace is not the absence of chaos and turmoil and hardship and struggle. For Jesus, peace is what can come in the midst of that. In the midst of our hardship, in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of the difficulties that we face, in the midst of the uncertainties of the times, peace can be found. And when we look at the Bible, we realize that Jesus is that fulfillment of that peace on so many things. Jesus came so that we might have life and have it to the fullest. The idea here is that he wants us to experience true peace, not just situational peace when things are going our way, but he wants us to experience peace even when things are tough, even when things are hard. And here we realize there's a passage that says that highlights a really important part for us is that not only did Jesus come that we might have day-to-day peace in the midst of that, but he also came that we would have peace with God. Because just like when I was a kid tearing open up those presents, my mom didn't teach me how to open up presents that I shouldn't have been opening. That was my own human nature kicking in. It was that selfishness. It was that greed that kicked in. My mom didn't need to teach me how to be greedy. I was greedy naturally. We all have those natural tendencies because we have a sin nature that's in us. And those things go against God's will for our lives. And so it separates us from God. And Jesus came to actually bring peace between us and God the Father. And here's the verse that helps us. In Romans 5:1, it says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And then in Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death, but..." That very important three-letter word, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, God wants us to have peace with his Father. God wants us to have peace with himself. And so he decided that he needed to send his son Jesus as a little baby to be born in this world, to bear all of our sin upon himself, and then die on the cross to take away the punishment of our sin. Took it all upon himself. And so for us, that was to help us have peace with God, because we needed that. We couldn't live the way we were. We have a gentleman in our church that has just started to come to church and experience what life with Christ is all about. And instead of me being up here and sharing more of my story, I'd like him to share his story. So we videotaped it, and I'd like you to meet Christoph and what difference this Christmas will be compared to last Christmas now that he knows Jesus. Let's watch this together.
Hi, my name is Wes. I'm one of the pastors here, and this is Christoph Weber, and I have the privilege of being in his life, baptizing him, and have been discipling him along the way, and so I just brought him into this conversation to talk.
Yeah.
And I've got some questions for you, and the first mainly is that Christmas has always meant something before, but what does that mean to you now? Now that you've turned your life over to Jesus, why is this Christmas different than any other you've ever
It's a lot different. Growing up as a kid, my birthday was on the 23rd. Mm-hmm. So growing up, I usually would just have one gift. It's, you know, all my friends are gone for Christmas break, and they would say, "Hey, Merry Birthday! Here you go." And it's, you know, like it's, I'm used to it at this point. But the fun thing is it's not really about me. I'm sure growing up I held a little bit of resentment for that, but it's something that I've able to just like immediately let go, because it's this, I'm more excited, you know. Mm-hmm. It's the kind of expectation of this coming of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Right, you know. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a smaller version of the grander narrative that we live as Christians.
And I think the other thing that's important about the Christian walk is that we, when we follow Jesus, we have this innate sense of peace. You know, there's a lot of chaos, and there's a lot of busy times. There's lots of hurt and loss with loved ones at this time of year. And mm-hmm. How do you feel like your faith in Jesus brings a sense of peace to this? To this time of year for you this year as opposed to other years?
Especially this year as opposed to other years. Because again, just because I'm walking in the life of a Christian doesn't mean my life has immediately become easier. It's that my life has, I've gained that much more strength. Hmm. Right? You know, it's a weird proverb I've heard is, you know, don't pray for an easy life, pray for the strength to endure a hard one. With Christ, I've been able to do that.
Right. And do you feel like this moment of being able to experience it for the first time is a gift for you? Like, it's like a just like almost like, wow, I'm opening this for the first time?
Kind of. Actually, that's a really good way of looking at it. Yeah. Like that's a, you know, it's even just the ideal that Jesus represents. Mm. God as a human being, this perfect human being, this person that's gone through, that went through everything horrible that any person could go through, that God had given us in the first place, is God. Jesus is that ideal for us to emulate. Is the gift in itself as well. But I really like, that whole, just the fact that I'm doing it for the first time is this, really wonderful experience.
So the last thing is just, if you were going to tell somebody who doesn't know Jesus and has never experienced what you've experienced, what would you want to tell them for this Christmas? They would know the real meaning of Christmas.
Ask. Just ask God. Just put it out there. Ask. Mm-hmm. And God does answer. Mm-hmm. You just have to be willing to listen. And wow. I think you have to have faith. Faith, that's one thing actually that's really, that was really important for me as well, is not just understanding something intellectually, but you experience it. This is something that's experienced in your lifetime, and that's the whole thing, is right. You have to come here, you gotta come to church, you gotta see what it's all about, mm-hmm. right? And you live it every single day, living every day more like Christ, trying to be more like him. You know, connect with people around you, try to talk to people and ask mm-hmm. as many questions as possible. It takes a step. Mm-hmm. You know, you meet, God's met us in the middle with the figure that is Christ, mm-hmm. right? And we gotta, I think we have to take that step as well. That's me, at least that's what I've tried to, what I've understood so far.
Awesome. Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming today. Thank Merry you. Christmas.
Merry Christmas, man.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Christoph said a few things that were really important. One is to recognize the fact that this is a journey, and for him, this whole thing is not just about what he knows, it's what he experiences. And each and every day, he shares about his experiences, and he was just recently baptized because he just felt so overwhelming, the sense and the presence of God in his life. Maybe you're here, and maybe this peace has eluded you for so long. Maybe you're struggling right now because maybe you've lost a job, or maybe you have some health issues, or maybe there's some turmoil in your life, and you're not sure what to do with it, and yet you sit here and you think, God, what is there? And just like Christoph said, you just need to ask. Ask God for help. Reach out to God and say, God, I can't do this on my own. I need your help. Help me to have the faith to take that step forward. I encourage you, as we partake in this next part where we get to light some candles, the understanding of what that peace can be in your life. It's life-changing. And God wants to change your life from the inside out and longs for that for you as well. I want to pray for us, and then I'll just give us some instructions as we head into the candle lighting. Let's pray. Father God, I want to just pause right now, and in the quietness of tonight, I just want to thank you that you are the Prince of Peace, that you are the Prince who has the authority to grant peace, and you give it not like we normally think of it, but in the midst of all that we're going through, you can grant us peace to walk through those waters. And as hard as they are and as challenging as they are, Father, we recognize that we desperately need you. And I pray that if there are some people here, God, that need to take that step of faith, I pray you would meet them there, Father, in a very special way. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would just grant us that peace that passes all understanding. And we give you thanks that at this Christmas, we're just reminded of that. In Jesus' name, amen.